And everybody, welcome in on this Tuesday. Hope everyone is having a great week so far. It's sort of the dog days of summer right now, but the news continues. And maybe Congress is kind of hoping you're asleep right now, not paying attention. But there have been quite a few things over the past week or so that have gotten tens of thousands of people to pick up the phone and call Congress and complain about what's hidden in this infrastructure bill. I mean, the phones rang off the hook. They had 40,000 phone calls pouring into the Senate offices complaining about all of the crypto language that was inside of the infrastructure bill. Imagine that. Democracy works. And then you had all of these senators backtracking, trying to pull it out at the last minute. So make no mistake about it, guys. Like when you pick up the phone and you call your members of Congress and you complain about it, it lights up the switchboard. It actually works. So they've been scrambling to try to tweak this language in there. So that's one thing that's sticking out. But I want to get to our top story this morning, which is infrastructure. And the Senate infrastructure bill is going to be voted on today. Surprisingly, that it moved so quickly. And, you know, the Senate will vote to pass a $1 trillion bipartisan infrastructure bill today at 11 a.m. This is a big moment for Senators Kyrsten Sinema and Rob Portman of Ohio. These are the sort of moderate Democrat, moderate Republicans that sort of came together and brought that whole G10 group together. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and President Joe Biden all on the same page. Getting this $1 trillion package through the Senate seemed unlikely 2 months ago, but it is about to happen. And the reason that it's about to happen is because all of these corporate interests are inside of this bill, right? The reason that it's a whole big love fest, make no mistake about it, the reason this is a whole big love fest between Democrats and Republicans on a bipartisan basis is because there are so many things in here that are propping up Wall Street.
You could actually say it's tripartisan because it's Wall Street too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And you know, it's sad. I mean, you think about, yes, we all want roads and bridges and everything fixed, right? It's an absolute nightmare across the United States. And so they can couch it that way. And that sounds great. Like, we got to fix our roads and bridges. We got to fix all these potholes. People can't get to and from work because the bus routes are broken and the subways aren't working and all of these things, right?
Well, that's the same thing they did with the CARES Act. They made the CARES mm-hmm. Act sound like, if you didn't vote for this, you don't care about people. When the people got how many billion, but the corporations got $5 trillion. Mm-hmm. Same with the Patriot Act, all the stuff that was in the Patriot Act. But if you didn't pass that in 24 hours, you weren't a patriot, sir.
Yeah. Why are you against America? Why are you against America? But inside the Patriot Act is all of this hidden stuff about surveillance and strips away the rights of the American people. Are you not a patriot? So, yes. There remains a number of issues on this infrastructure legislation before it becomes law, and it might not actually happen. And it might actually be in the hands of Nancy Pelosi to show just how progressive she actually is. If she wants to help, and she wants to maybe shore up the Democratic Party for the future, and she wants to align herself with progressives who are saying, wait a second, we're not going to pass this bill until we see the new multi-trillion dollar reconciliation package, the $3.5 trillion package. Like, we need to see that come to the floor first before we vote on anything related to infrastructure. And she's saying it's probably not going to happen until October at the earliest. So that means that this bill will sit there in the House of Representatives until October. It might be. It might just be that. I mean, they're going on break again. They're going on recess for August.
Didn't they just come off of like a 6-week vacation?
Yeah. So they're going, they need to rest.
I think we need to start docking their pay. I think we need to get together and we need to decide to put them on minimum wage.
Well, like you said yesterday, we need to put them on an hourly. Like, yeah, they have to clock in like you do at McDonald's. Like, you have to clock in, clock out. For most of them, they're never there. You know, a lot of people are praising Mitch McConnell today. They're like, oh, you know, Mitch, way to get in line with this and actually bring this vote available, like not blocking this vote on infrastructure. A lot of people thought this isn't going to happen. Donald Trump has been slamming Republicans who support this bill, right? And then you have the Republicans who I think are worried about their reelection not standing up for it. And they're saying, I'm not voting for this thing. And they're labeling it as socialism. Saying, I'm not going to support this thing. Like, I'm going to be in the camp of Trump here. Trump thinks this is really bad. He's, you know, of course, he's being a fake populist, as they always do. But Marsha Blackburn was on the telly yesterday. And again, I think people just don't understand what socialism is? Like, this is a big wet kiss to Wall Street. This is not a package of socialist. This is has nothing to do with socialism. The reason that Mitch McConnell and all of these Republicans and Democrats and Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, they're all on the same page, is because it's a big wet kiss to Wall Street. That's it. Don't read it any other way. So you don't want to support this bill only for your own political expediency because Donald Trump said anyone who votes against this bill or votes for this bill, you're going to be primaried. I'm coming after you. So that's why you have a number of these Republicans who are up for re-election. They're like, oh, wait a second. I'll just sit back and pretend that this is a big pile of socialism and I'll vote against it. Marsha Blackburn, perfect example.
I have to deal with a devastatingly expensive and high-tax budget package as well. What are your thoughts?
By the way, just to be clear, not even close to the price tag Donald Trump wanted, right? Not even close. Trump wanted
Donald
to spend
Trump
more.
Donald Trump was a socialist.
I guess he must have been a socialist, yeah. Instead of a fake, you know, conservative populist or whatever the heck he is, you know? So it's nowhere near the cost, by the way, of what Trump wanted. To be clear, but hey, don't let facts get in the way of your morning.
Oh, that's right now.
Well, the infrastructure bill is not paid for. There is a $256 billion deficit in this, and that does not include the problems with contracting authority or the deficit that would be there in the out years.
Yeah, because you're so concerned about the deficit, right? Like, making sure that rich people could get tax cuts. How did you pay for that? You didn't.
Where did she stand on the additional military $20 billion?
She's all for that. Oh. She's all for that. It was $25 billion, by the way.
Oh, I forgot. $5 billion.
Yeah. So now $750 billion. How do you pay for that? You can't. But she's okay with that, right? So again, get on television, spin your yarns about how you can't stand socialism. That's why you voted against this thing.
And also bear in mind, there's $161 billion in new fees that are in this piece of legislation. So it is too expensive to afford. It is truly the gateway to socialism for the Democrats. It is the down payment on the Green New Deal. And they wanted to have something they said would be bipartisan. So I commend those that tried to work in a bipartisan manner. They did not deliver a product that Tennesseans want to see. Indeed, we've been hearing from our local and state elected officials. They're very concerned about mandates, federal overreach, losing some of their authority over projects and things. And they said, I've heard from so many people, they say, look, we wanted infrastructure, roads and bridges and highways and ports and rivers and railways and runways and broadband. But what we've got is a little bit of that and a whole lot of the Green New Deal.
That's socialism. In what way? I don't know.
Somebody needs to explain to these people what socialism actually is their salaries and their medical care. Somebody needs to explain that it's as simple as that. What they get is what democratic socialism is, not what they're saying.
Yeah, imagine Larry Kudlow saying that, right? Imagine Larry Kudlow saying, Marsha, to be clear, you're saying this is a road to socialism, but what the American people overwhelmingly want is access to medical care retirement benefits. So there's a safety net there to protect them.
They basically want what you have, Senator.
Yeah, you have socialized medicine, remember? You know, but you hate that. So you don't understand what socialism is, and this bill has nothing to do with it. Like, lining the pockets of green contractors who are going to make solar farms and windmills, etc. Yes, there's a lot of cronyism in this. That has nothing to do with socialism. That's capitalism. So what you're decrying here is the very same thing that Marjorie Taylor Greene was decrying but didn't understand it, which is the system you live in right now. It's crony capitalism. That's what it is. I love the ignorance.
But that's socialism, Clayton. That's just how I get my paycheck. That's how I live.
Yeah, yeah. What about your, Marsha, what about your health care?
And when I get a boo-boo, I just go to the doctor and they fix it. Whatever, I can go for checkups, I mean, they even looked at my hair once.
How much does it cost you?
nothing.
Oh, well, that's socialism then, I guess, huh? That's the socialized...
It's a benefit to working as hard as I do.
When are you going on vacation again?
Right now, after this interview.
Oh, okay. We better end the interview because you got to get on vacation again, Marcia.
Yeah, I'm getting to Martha's Vineyard.
Do you own that vineyard, Marcia?
Part of it.
So, you know, this whole like bipartisan moment on trying to get this thing passed, you know, may only last as long as they, you know, as October, because as the Senate now heads into the most important policy fight of the year over the budget resolution, all this sort of bipartisanship is going to be thrown out the window. You know, people continue to praise Mitch McConnell because, oh, you worked well with Democrats. You got this thing to the floor. But now, of course, raising the debt ceiling, which we outlined yesterday here on the show, you're basically, you know, increasing the debt ceiling to pay for past payments or past loans, right? And so under Trump, like these are things you would now default under. By the way, Mitch, you were the leader of the Senate at the time. President Trump was president at the time. These are things that you passed, right? These are things that you loaned out to borrow from. And you owe these money. You owe this money back now. So you're not going to raise the debt ceiling and pay those loans back and we default? And we have an economic calamity as a result of it? Yeah. So that vote today at 11 a.m. Eastern time is the Senate stimulus bill. And then the real next question, guys, is what happens with Nancy Pelosi? What does the House of Representatives do? Are the voices of the progressive wing of the party loud enough to make sure that that $3.5 trillion human infrastructure reconciliation package is brought forward before there's any vote? Because you've been hearing from the squad, you've been hearing from AOC, et cetera, that said they're not going to vote on this until they see the reconciliation bill that they were promised, which actually goes to help humans, not Wall Street. And that's next on the docket. And, you know, we'll see. And we'll see what pressure comes from the White House also. So keep your eyes on this space. We'll be watching that. We have more to get to here. We're going to talk about something hidden inside this infrastructure bill that is just astonishing. You know, we keep learning more and more at the last minute here what's in this thing, because all these amendments have been added at the last minute. Over hundreds of these amendments have been added to this thing, so we haven't had a chance to see what the final bill even looks like. And I guarantee you none of the senators who are going to vote on this today have seen a finalized bill and have read it, all 3,000 pages of it. No way. They have not. These guys fall asleep sitting in a committee hearing. You think they're going to read 3,000 pages? No, they're not.
They don't even read one page.
Right.
They can't be bothered with that.
We don't even know what's in the damn thing. And you're gonna be bothered with
reading that. We're taking a vacation.
And you're gonna be voting on that. That's great. I'll tell you about our friends over at Mini Cooper. You guys know how excited I am to get my new Mini Electric. I cannot wait. Today we're talking about the charged up all electric Mini Cooper SE. This is an electric car designed with style in mind. With the iconic Mini design, the classic Mini go-kart handling, tight curves, man, it just takes right around. If you go around like a roundabout, oh my God, like sticks to the side of the roundabout. It's a fun way to electrify every street. It's an electric that stands out from all the other electrics, and it's good. It's everything you love about Mini, fully electrified. The all-new, all-electric Cooper SE starts at only $29,900. Reserve yours today at miniusa.com. My son said, Daddy, did you reserve yours? I said, oh, yes, I did. I cannot wait. I love Mini Coopers. It is my favorite car I've ever owned, and I've been waiting for the electric version, and so this is the one that I want.
When does it roll out?
Boy, that's a good question. I think it comes out. Let's see here. You can pre-order it now. I think it rolls out in the fall, I think.
So you're on the list to get one in the fall?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It is pretty cool looking. Like, I've always loved the body shape and look of those cars. I've never driven one, though.
Oh, wait till you try one. Wait till you try one. Yeah, and all the new charging stations they've got. Big fan.
Yeah, I actually looked at the Countryman. I was thinking about that one because I needed something, you know, a little bit more outdoors here in the Pacific Northwest. And pretty cool cars.
Yeah. Yeah, they have a bunch of different shapes and sizes. I've had the four-door sport, and you can go to their website too. You can build your own as well. So you can can pick exactly how you want it. Convertible, hardtop, etc. Or check out their electric, which is what I wanted. So check them out. The electric hardtop, two-door. And yeah, when is it? Exact date on it. Wish I had that in front of me.
You're going to get a notification your car has shipped and we're not going to see you for a week, are we?
That's right. That's right. I'll be out.
I'm going on a cruise. I'll be back in 2 weeks.
Just driving my Mini. Just driving my Mini. The best part is, you know, that I don't have to like lug like all the family around. I can just take, you know, just a few kids and then.
Hey, oh, sorry. Around. You don't fit.
You don't fit. All right. Our thanks to Mini. How are people doing in the chat today? How's everyone doing? If you're new to the show, make sure you subscribe to the old channel. By the way, we have our newsletter, which goes out every day, Monday through Friday. We have a new look and feeling to it today. I don't know if you saw the newsletter today. If you go to morninginvest.com, we deliver it to your inbox first thing in the morning. But let me show you. We don't have, you can't see it yet, but then we have the new logo, the new colors and everything. So if you go to morninginvest.com, put in your email address, and tomorrow morning, you'll receive the newsletter first thing in the morning between like 6 and 7 a.m., depending on where you live. And we cover stories, you know, that you can read in about 5-10 minutes over your cup of coffee. We try to make it a lot of fun and informative so you feel like you know what's going on in the world all before you step out the door in the morning. So totally free. Go to morninginvest.com and check out our whole new look and design.
So Lisa wants to know what color Mini you got.
I have to pick it later. So I just reserved. So I'm just in spot to reserve. But I had my last Mini that I had was like a lime green or like a, it was called like a sea green. And it was gorgeous. I loved it. I missed that car. So I've been waiting and waiting and waiting for this one. Waiting. But I'll probably get it. Depends, I guess. Well, because you can get it and then it has the like the green on the side of it and everything to let you know it's the electric version. So it has that, you know, it has the like the yellow trim or like the green trim around it.
Yeah, that looks really cool.
Yeah. So exciting. All right, let's talk about surveillance. There's, you know, we keep learning more and more what's inside this bill. And it's really disturbing what's inside the stimulus package. And again, the reason, you know, no one saw it is because they keep adding these amendments at the last minute, unfortunately. And so all of this stuff is there and, you know, we didn't know about it and it gets shoved in there at the last minute. And that's why there's just this rush to try to get this thing voted on as quickly as possible. So hidden inside of this bipartisan infrastructure bill, buried in the Senate bill, is a grant program that would distribute $500 million to cities to experiment with sensors, autonomous vehicles, drones, and other technologies intended to improve urban living standards. So do you feel like your life will be improved if everywhere you go, there's a drone like flying over you, watching you? This is part of the infrastructure.
The dog, the new robot dogs.
Oh yeah, the new robot dogs that just go through the park and see if you're sleeping, and you know it'll stare at your eyeballs to see if you're
running
a fever, high, or if you got a fever, or you got COVID, or something. Like the police state that we're in, Senate infrastructure bill would invest $500 million in a smart city surveillance technology. Privacy advocates caution against giving the government another tool to monitor its citizens. Guys, we're like day by day, year by year. You know, people want to say America, freest country in the world. No, we're not. We are not. So we're going to give autonomous vehicles, drones, and other technologies. By the way, who's going to run this stuff? Who's in charge of this? Like, who's is that part of the police department? Is it going to be part of the military? Is now going to be flying over, studying what's going on in your house, in your neighborhood?
That's the only one that would make sense.
I mean, what about like a little town in Kansas somewhere? Like, is the police department going to be able to handle that? The sheriff's office going to handle that? Or are they going to wind up like these other police departments that get all of this military equipment, like these huge Humvees and armored vehicles, and the military sells it to the police departments now? And they sit there under tarps.
Yeah, it's basically the National Guard now.
Right. Yeah. Like, since when does a police department need an armored Humvee or whatever? But under the $1.2 trillion Senate infrastructure bill, they call it the Strengthening Mobility and Revolutionizing Transportation Initiative. State and urban planners would test how data gathering devices and new vehicles can improve transportation efficiency and safety. The bill spot, where do they even come up with this? Like, you gotta think the lobbying people that come to Washington, they're like, hey, we've got this drone program that will surveil people. We can couch it as we're going to improve transportation efficiency.
You know, if they were actually going to do that, like if they actually were going to do something to where they wanted to see that, and then they were going to try to compete with cities like, you know, Japan or whatever, where they've got the monorails and stuff like that. Like if they were actually going to do that research to do that, then that would be fine. But that's all this is an expansion of surveillance. That's all this is.
Yeah. They say that it's they're going to be interested in reducing traffic, enhancing access to jobs and healthcare. Okay. They're going to be lowering pollution and incentivizing private sector investments by working with communication service providers. But some are worried these technologies will only enable more government surveillance, writes The Intercept. This is a form of surveillance, often involving police. So if police are getting this stuff, how is that exactly about studying traffic flow and efficiency? Do you think the police departments are going to be using this to study air pollution? What police department do you know gives a rat's ass about air pollution?
They can't even show up with mentally handicapped people and act right.
But no, we're going to give them drones. So this is a form of surveillance, often involving police, that invades privacy, deters protest in public places. Exactly. Deters protest in public places. Hey, you know, it's like a Jason Bourne film. Like, there's a crowd of people forming. There's a crowd of people forming at Liberty Square. Dispatch, you know. Yeah, you can't gather. You can't gather at all. And all too often, desperately burdens people of color. As Adam Schwartz writes, senior staff attorney at the Electronic Frontier Foundation. So where do you think most of these drones, most of these surveillance items will be? They'll be in urban areas, won't they?
Like Judge Dredd in real life, Christine is saying. Mm-hmm. Or if you saw Ready Player One.
I really want to see that.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah.
But like drone surveillance, like that's how they surveil people. They just have drones flying about, no police department or whatever.
Yeah, you remember growing up when you were speeding on the highway and, you know, and there would, and I believed it because I got pulled over one time going from University of Pittsburgh back home to Reading, Pennsylvania, where my parents lived. And I would try to get there in record time, you know, and it's a turnpike. So it's everyone's speeding, you know, but they'd have state troopers on the road occasionally. But it would say speed enforced by aircraft, right? Mm-hmm. So they would literally like have planes flying over. And I guess they would use radar, I suppose. I don't know if that was a lie or it was just like, they wanted you to believe that that was the case. But I do know that like I'd be speeding sometime and then, you know, going pretty fast. I don't want to say speeding, but like in the 80s, you know. And I would suddenly out of the blue, like police officers flying up, you know, because maybe an aircraft tagged me.
Yeah, I think that was like because you were in a school zone. Either or.
Or there was that police officer with the standing there on the motorbike behind a billboard with the thing, and I just went right by, and his hat spun around. And they, oh boy, I better get.
So somebody
those Duke boys are at it again.
Those pesky Duke boys. Somebody showed me that there's these white lines on the highway that allow airplanes to track. So there's like a white line somewhere, and then there's a line down the road further that lets them track the speed or whatever. So. There is that they do still use that.
That interesting. Method. Well, so this is like an amped up version of that, right? And imagine now the police departments will have this. The bill's sponsors are especially interested in reducing traffic, enhancing access to jobs and healthcare, lowering pollution, and incentivizing private sector's investments by working with communication service providers. Sure they are.
Sure I love they how are. They just add all these positive words to try to sell this.
Right. And it doesn't, you know, it's amazing. The infrastructure bill, which was stalled amid the debate over the cryptocurrency regulation, doesn't mention police involvement. But senior policy counsel at the American Civil Liberties Union said law enforcement often tries to get its hands on data collected by transportation departments. The ACLU has worked with city councils across the country to pass laws in ensuring community oversight of new surveillance technologies. And they said that the new bill must guarantee that governments applying for grants gain the consent of local residents. It's critically important that we focus in and set in the center of opinions of the people who live in those communities to hear what they think. The idea for the grant program borrows from the futuristic smart city concept that local governments nationwide and around the world, including South Bend, Indiana, are under the mayorship of Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, have adopted in hopes of revitalizing businesses, health, and safety in poor and congested communities. I love this line. Often cheered on by major technology corporations seeking lucrative contracts. The concept envisions using high-speed networks of shared sensor data, known as the Internet of Things, to help manage the flow of people, commerce, and energy at reduced costs. It's the city of tomorrow, today, here in beautiful South Bend, Indiana. Humans are able to travel to work under complete surveillance from their government, free of any privacy. This is the city of tomorrow. That's exactly what they're dealing with now.
I'm from that area.
And then there's others, like of New York, Representative Yvette Clark, the second most powerful Democrat, says this doesn't go far enough. She says she's glad the bill would issue grants and create an online resource center to help local governments, so tracking its people, all in a central database. But we need more than this if we're going to accomplish things in the 21st century. It's been endorsed by the Software Alliance that represents Amazon, Microsoft, Salesforce, and others. Shocking that it would authorize $1.1 billion that would probably go out to these companies to help them.
You know, like, and I was talking about when we got on the conversation of body cams not too long ago, and having some third party that, you know, was a credible source. I mean, that would be hard to find, but having some kind of third party run these things, I would be more, you know, secure. Like, I would be more apt to trust something that was third party rather than if it was partisan or if it was run by the police department or something like that. Like a nonpartisan third party that their only job was to, you know, do something like that. Almost like when you go to the airport, have you ever flown private? The private security that you have, they're like, you know, it's a private security firm. It's not partisan or anything. And it's just like a really good experience. They don't, like, you know, mess with you or anything. It's just a completely different experience because they want that job. They want that contract. And if they do anything nefarious, they would lose it. So they have an incentive to do the job well. So, you know, having things like that, like body cams and this kind of stuff on a third party, I think would be better, but that's never going to happen.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And, you know, it might, there are certain, you know, situations where we do have like third party oversight and, you know, it actually works pretty well, but often the government, you know, often the government ignores it too. Like we have the Congressional Budget Office, which is a nonpartisan third party that examines budget bills. And then both parties slam it and say, they're, you know, that's just the CBO. They're not really relevant. So it would have to be upheld by, you know, by these third parties. It would have to be agreed upon, you know, in the same way that they do like presidential debate commission. Right, that a presidential debate commission. It's set up so that both parties can't bicker back and forth, and the presidential debate commission decides the venues, gets the
third parties can't be in it.
Exactly.
And then if a third party does start to get a percentage to where they could be in it, they raise the percentage.
Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff hidden in this bill. I mean, the fact that, you know, hidden in this bill was this crypto language that basically would turn anyone who has a digital wallet essentially into a broker, and therefore they would have to give out 1099s literally would have to file 1099s. It was an absolute disaster. And even Jack Dorsey yesterday tweeted, you know, either we strike the whole provision or we make it clear that it's only those that are exchanges like a Binance or Coinbase, not just the individual crypto holder. It would have decimated the entire crypto industry. But guess what? They got together and flooded the phones of these senators, 40,000 phone calls in one afternoon. And guess what happened? They changed the language.
Well, and what happens a lot of times, and this happened with the whole internet bill thing, is they put language in there that's confusing on purpose because they say, you know, and everybody's like, no, no, no. They said they're using it for this. They're using it for this. But the language by design is very vague so that at any time they can expand on those powers because they know the end game. They know that they want to get these powers and they have to sell these powers to you. And then once we are like, oh, yeah, no, they deserve these powers. Then they're like, okay, we got it. Now let's expand it.
Mm-hmm. And they said this crypto language is intentionally vague. I mean, it's, and you had the blockchain alliance saying that, no, this is so vague. It opens up the doors to all kinds of trouble in the future. You have to be specific. Of course, they could bring it before courts. And the problem is that the courts are always going to side with Wall Street. You know, Supreme Court notoriously is pro-business. So they're going to side with the side of Wall Street. They're going to side with, you know, and obviously Wall Street is not happy about crypto. They're not in favor of crypto in many ways. They see, you know, they're obviously at odds there. So if this goes to the Supreme Court, where do you think it's going to fall? You think they're going to kick it back to Congress to be more specific in their language? Probably not. Nothing. The whole thing, you know, nothing makes sense.
Nothing makes sense.
Exactly, Janine. Exactly. We've got more news to get to today. I want to talk about, so if you've been watching our show, if you watched our show over the last week or so, you know that I've been covering the Apple story where they've now, of course, been rolling out this new feature, and they've been very proud of this feature that would scan the photos of children, basically, in iCloud photos. So Apple, it would be on device, and it would scan the photos, and if it found that there was anything, any child abuse or I suppose it could be anything, any nudity-related items as well as it relates to children. It would be flagged. And then it would be ultimately, the parents would be sent a text message alerting them. So if they discovered on their kids' phones, they would be sent a text message. But also then it would be flagged. And it would be flagged internally at Apple where a human being would then review these photos to see if, in fact, it was child abuse, if it wasn't just a kid with a scraped knee because they fell in the park and the mom took a photo of it. Like, how do you know? The idea, of course, we've been hearing from Apple is that the AI is so good that they're not going to have any problems. There's not going to be any problems. Like, we'll be able to scan these photos of children and we'll be able to review them and it should be fine. We're not going to get any false positives here. We stand by this technology. They haven't released an internal memo. Apple was so proud of this, saying, you know, this is fantastic. You know, we're standing up for the rights of children, protecting children. We're going to help reduce child abuse across the world. And in the United States, we'll alert police departments when we believe that child abuse is going on. You're on the right of good here. And I raised the concern that this is, to me, a bridge too far, that Apple has done really a big shift here. You remember a number of years ago from Apple, they literally told the FBI to go screw themselves because the FBI wanted Apple to basically build a back door into an iPhone of a terrorist and unlock it. And Apple said, we don't have that technology. We cannot unlock their phone. And the FBI said, build that technology. And Apple said, we cannot do that because once we do that, then that gives access other bad actors access to anyone's phone in the world. And we won't do it.
Well,
and they stood up to that.
And the fear of this, too, is like, you know, this is kind of like, you know, there was an individual in the Me Too movement that completely lost everything, his job, his career, everything. And then the woman came forward and said she was lying. But at that time, by then, his public life was ruined. And this has the same potential. If they show up, like they say they alert the police, show up at your house on a false positive and your neighbors happen to be around and they overhear the conversation. It doesn't matter if you prove yourself innocent to the police or whatever. Those people are still going to see you as guilty. And so this is a bridge way too far because of all the, like, I don't know how they could guarantee no false positives. That's impossible. There's no way that could happen.
It's absolutely impossible. You know, I know Apple makes great technology, but there's no freaking way. I mean, and the same, by the way, we should also include Google in this conversation. I mean, Google has been doing this already. I mean, not contacting police departments to my knowledge, but when you upload photos to Google Photos, if you've got an Android phone, I mean, how many people watching right now have an Android phone? Like if you use Google Photos, the reason that you get like targeted advertising, the reason that they're able to do all of this processing to give you good search results when you hold up your phone and say, hey, show me pictures that I took of a dog, right? It's because it scanned all of your photos, and on Google servers, they've done all of this. So Google's already doing this. And Google makes no bones about it. They're like, well, that's how we're able to give you this great service. We provide advertising. We know who you are. We have advertising inside of Gmail. We know who you are. But Apple was supposed to be the bastion of privacy, right? They claim that the privacy is a human right. They stand by that.
Well, and when that's what you stand by, who in that company thought that was like, who was like, this is a great idea. We can surveil people's photos, and we can I'm sure there's somebody who thinks it's noble. There probably is somebody that thinks it's noble, but there has to be people around them that are like, no, this is too much. We're not the policemen of the world. We're not the policemen of our users. Because if you're going to go that far, then you know what? Then how many people are you going to hold yourselves responsible when people use your phones to commit violent acts? Right. Like, if you're going to put yourself in there and you're going to police things, well, then you're going to be in there for everything.
Right. I mean, why stop at just the Photos app, right? I mean, why not start? You know, and they're going to be looking at iMessages as well, right? We're supposed to be end-to-end encryption, like on iMessage, supposed to be secure, right? So now, okay, at what point do you stop then just with photos? You know, what about someone? I mean, what if the government wants to get access to this? At what point does the government get access to this? And you say, well, sure. Well, you know, the government, they want to do well. They want to start policing all of our text messages. We want to make sure that any email that we send is we're also going through that to make sure that I'm not planning something horrible.
Well, and that's how this stuff works. They come up with this technology, and then they get the technology to where it works perfectly well. And then guess who buys it? The government.
Right. And, you know, they say they build a sort of back door. I mean, what they're doing here is essentially, you know, I think what they're doing is they're going after the thing that we all agree is repugnant, right? Like child abuse. So Apple is going to be a leader in trying to prevent child abuse. They're going to see any photos that are taken of abused children. They're going to flag them, and they're going to call police departments. They're going to have a human review person at Apple who's going to be looking at this stuff. By the way, like, who is going to take that job? Like, who at Apple is going to sit down and like, yeah, oh, so my whole job every day is to look for pictures of abused children? That's the job description?
Can you say pedophile?
Pedophiles will take that job. Like, I wish I had like a mustache or something. Not that like everyone with the mustache is a pedophile, but you know what I'm saying? Like, if I just feel like that they'd have like, you know, like a little ball cap. Hi, I'm here for the job of reviewing naked children photos. Is this where I come for that job? I'm signing up for that job. It's like the people at Facebook who literally look at like hate speech all day, right? And they have to like take those posts down. There was that whole piece written about how those guys, the Facebook employees that have to look at that stuff all day are like, have like suicidal tendencies. So now that this is what Apple's going to get in the business of doing is policing child photographs. So anytime it seems like a booby or anything like that, it's going to get like flagged as a problem. Maybe it's a 17-year-old kid texting, you know, a boyfriend or something, whatever. And that's going to get flagged and reviewed by someone at Apple. What's private? What's private anymore? It's a bridge too far. Well, Edward Snowden, of course, who raised the flag and raised the alarm bells about what the NSA was doing, already spying on the American people, had this to say about it. No matter how well-intentioned Apple is rolling out mass surveillance to the entire world with this, make no mistake, if they scan for kiddie porn today, they can scan for anything tomorrow. They turned $1 trillion of devices into iNarcs without asking. Apple says to protect children, they are updating every iPhone to continuously compare your photos and cloud storage against a secret blacklist of photos. If it finds a hit, they call the cops. iOS will also tell your parents if you view a nude in iMessage. So if a kid gets a message that has a nude photo in it, you know, if a nude message comes through and your kid sees it, guess what? The parents will get a message, a text message.
Well, and did they get the actual, like, you know, what they looked at too? Like all of a sudden a father's looking at his daughter's sexting messages when she's of age to do that?
Right. I mean, I guess if you're under 18, you know.
Don't have an iPhone.
Don't have an iPhone, I guess. I mean, I guess what's the solution here? Go get an Android phone where Google's scanning everything anyway? You know, this makes you think of like just not using a phone anymore. Like going back to like, you know, like, I don't know, 1800s time, or going back to like a flip phone, you know?
Well, and this is why competition is a good thing. Like you right now have the market cornered by Android and iOS. Like yeah. What other choice do we have as an operating system? So if both platforms now are going to spy on us, what choice do we have? You know, other than to go to a flip phone, but even the flip phones nowadays run Android. Like what flip phone can That's you true. Go to? Like That's other true. Than if you went backwards into like a Nokia that probably won't even work on the updated networks now, the 5G networks and stuff. We're kind of stuck.
Yeah, is there like an Ubuntu phone or, I mean, what does Huawei phones run on?
They run on Android. Now, so they actually were forced to create their own software. I think, I can't remember what it's called, but it's their own operating system, but it's a like a backdoor Android from what I understand, because Android's open source. But like still, like and that's the thing, they've got the market so cornered, there's no room for competition. Could you imagine somebody trying to get an iOS to where people could actually download apps and stuff and make the phone usable like the current phones? Like they've cornered the market and they're so deep into it that there's no way that a competitor could come up in this market, because like a phone like Huawei, they get removed from the United States. You can't even sell a Huawei phone in the United States because they were selling phones cheaper and they were making better phones than Apple and Samsung and stuff like that. And they're like, nope, nope, nope. Can't have them in the United States. We need to find a reason to get them out. Oh, the Chinese put spyware in those phones. Okay, let's say that's true. I don't care if the Chinese government knows anything about me. I'm in the United States, but my United States, Apple and Android, they're spying on me. That's what matters more to me.
Well, and China. I mean, Edward Snowden brings up this about China. You bring up China. You know, the last time China stamped an inappropriate demand for access, Apple sold out their users to them. To quote them, while we advocated against iCloud being subject to these laws in China, we were ultimately unsuccessful. So China is already allowed to do this. So you don't think that in the United States, with all of the phone calls that President, Nancy Pelosi's had with Tim Cook, et cetera, like if they're already willing to sell out their users in China, are they not willing to do it in the United States for profit?
They are.
You know, at least Google said, you know what, we're not going to keep our headquarters here in China anymore, right? Because they were up against the wall against of search engines and they wanted Baidu, which is China's own run search engine. So Google's like, forget it. But so, Apple's like, hey, we sell so many phones here in China. We can't. So yes, we will cave to you, Chinese government. You can now access to iCloud. In the United States, you can't. But now here's like an end around by using this child photograph rule that's going to allow you to get access to this stuff.
Well, and do you guys understand how much money these corporations make from your data? So Comcast is one of the biggest sellers of your data. And I, you know, I thought, well, that could be true. So on one of my, when I signed up for Comcast at my last house, I changed a letter in my name just to see what would happen. And I started getting mail to that name. I started getting phone calls to that name. I started getting all kinds of stuff to that name, and there was nowhere else I used it. And so it's true. Comcast, one of the richest companies in the world, sells your data for money.
Oh, they all do. I mean, Apple has stood up and said, we don't do that. That's what separates us, right? We don't do that. But we don't mind selling you out to the Chinese government if they want to access your iCloud photos, you know, state surveillance of what's going on here. Don't you think for a minute that the government would want to have access to this? Of course they would. They already have tried to do it. The FBI, the federal government, has been asking Apple to build a backdoor into iOS devices. And we already know from Edward Snowden that the government spies on us, spies on our phone calls. So why would we think that they wouldn't want access to this? Edward tweets this, Apple's new iPhone contraband scanning system is now a national security issue. They just openly admitted that they have no answer for what to do when China comes knocking. Hard to understate how disastrous this new system is for iPhone security. Tim Cook needs to intervene. I agree. And they've set up a GitHub where you can go and add your name to this petition against Apple doing this. I think it's Apple Privacy. I'll have a link for it. I think it's appleprivacy.com. Let me check, see if I can find it here.
Well, and while you're doing that, I think it's funny that people are so like, you know, don't give China your data. But what is China going to do with my data? Like, honestly, what is China going to do with my data? In the United States, they can arrest me for my data. My data is in a database that can actually have the police show up at my door now if I take a photo of my niece in a play when she has blood on her face, which has happened. I have a thing on my phone of her in makeup because she played a serial killer in a play.
Yeah, and so they could flag that. Oh, look at this. He's abusing her.
Right. But what can China do? Like,
right, what's China going to do? But what about your United States government?
So if you don't worry, I don't care. TikTok had China has our data. I don't care about China having my data, honestly. But I do care. I do care about the United States having my data and the phone carrier that I use, because you know I take a lot of pictures on this thing. We all do.
How dare you criticize Apple while still using Apple products? I also live in society and continue to insist we should improve it. I haven't moved to Mars just yet, right? To me, I've always believed in Apple for its stance on privacy. And the reason I'm out there criticizing them is because I think this is a bridge too far. And I think that this is a huge step backwards. And I've been incredibly impressed at them standing up to the federal government, standing up to the FBI, standing up to surveillance, standing up to getting access to this stuff. And yes, I've criticized them when they've kowtowed to China. I almost wish they just would totally pull out of China. But of course, you know, profit over that, I guess, you know. But they're not perfect. But here's an opportunity for them to actually fix this. I think there's two paragraphs in here that stand out. And Ben Thompson over at Stratechery wrote about this. And he's a great tech writer, great thinker in this space. And he had this to say. Apple's choices in this case, though, go in the opposite direction. Instead of adding the child security database scanning to iCloud photos in the cloud that they own and operate, Apple is compromising the phone that you and I own and operate without any of us having a say in the matter. Yes, you can turn off iCloud photos to disable Apple's scanning, but that's a policy decision. The capability to reach into a user's phone now exists, and there is nothing an iPhone user can do to get rid of it. A far better solution to the Flickr problem I started with is to recognize that the proper point of comparison is not the iPhone and Facebook, but rather Facebook and iCloud. One's device ought to be one's property, with all of the exceptions of ownership and privacy that entails. Cloud services, meanwhile, are the property of their owners as well, with all of the expectations of societal responsibility and law abiding, which that entails. It's truly disappointing that Apple got so hung up on its particular vision of privacy that it ended up betraying the fulcrum of user control, being able to trust that your device is truly yours. And that includes their cloud services. Because what is your phone without the cloud service? It's just a dumb piece of hardware, isn't it? So if you turn all that off, then you don't have then it's not a phone, then it's not the thing you paid for. It's an impotent device, isn't it?
Well, and that's the thing. You spend $1,400 for this phone. Yeah, and they're going to spy on me.
Well, and it comes with, when you pay for that $1,400, it comes with cloud storage. You're paying for the right. Cloud storage as part of that, right? That's part of your privacy.
Right. And I'm not, and they say that it's all encrypted. I mean, they make me use Face ID to get on the phone. But it's like my Face ID, like behind that Face ID, I'm not protected from the company that sold me this phone.
Right.
That makes zero sense. Right. Like they're bypassing my Face ID. They should not be able to access anything that I don't say you can have access to this. I mean, is this something we can opt out of?
It's like the bank robber can't get into your phone, but Apple can.
Right.
Like this guy steals you or pickpockets you, can't get into the phone because of Face ID, but Apple has a way in.
That's like me selling you a shirt. You know, a really nice shirt, and then I show up every Wednesday and I take it from your closet and I wear it. Like, you sold me that shirt. Well, I know, but I like to wear it.
Why are there beard hairs on this shirt? I don't know. What's going on here? So let me know in your thoughts in the comments here about this. I think it's a bridge too far, and we'll be continuing to watch to see what Apple does. But I'll link up that petition in the show notes for you if you guys want to add your name to this petition to have Apple reverse course. I am adding mine to that petition, but I think it's incredibly important that we sound an alarm on this, and hopefully we are. And the mainstream media is starting to pay attention, which I thought they wouldn't. So good for
that. That's because they all use iPhones. Finally, something that we can all... Now we'll be like tripartisan.
I want to tell you about our friends over at Netgear. Now, I have had some problems lately in my house with our internet, our mesh network. And I've had some struggles here with my Wi-Fi to keep up streaming, some work, gaming, video calling. In fact, this morning we're working on the newsletter, and Natalie said, my wife, who said, the internet's being a pain in the butt today. So when you have all those issues, you need a solution. And that's where Orbi, the Wi-Fi 6 by Netgear. It's time to treat your home to the world's superior Wi-Fi system with Orbi Wi-Fi 6 by Netgear. No more buffering, no more dead zones, no more dropped Wi-Fi connections. Orbi Wi-Fi 6 by Netgear is perfectly engineered to ensure a faster, superior Wi-Fi connection across even the most demanding and sophisticated smart homes of any size. Concrete walls? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You've got a really tall house? Doesn't matter. Upgrade to award-winning Orbi Wi-Fi 6 and untap the crisp 8K video streaming. Get crystal clear audio with faster speeds across all of your devices, all with zero interruptions. And guess what? You're going to get 10% off today. If you want to experience the exceptional Wi-Fi, upgrade to Orbi Wi-Fi 6 and save 10%. Visit netgear.com/bestwifi. That's netgear.com/bestwifi with promo code MORNING10. It's MORNING10. The number 10, morning 10, to save 10% again.
That's actually what I have in my home.
I know, you ordered it. So what's been the latest? You got the Orbi Wi-Fi 6. How's it been?
It's been great. Like, before I used, I can't even remember which mesh system I was using, but I couldn't get it network outside. Like, if I was out by the grill or I was out in the yard, no Wi-Fi. But I put this thing, so I have one over here in my studio behind me, then I have one downstairs close to the window, and so it picks up the whole entire house and my whole yard, my whole backyard. So now anywhere I'm at in the yard, I can, like, because I live stream sometimes from my yard. So
yeah,
I've had no drops, no issues whatsoever. It's been great.
That's awesome. And the system that I've had has had hiccups lately, and so I asked
you. Do you use Eero? Okay. Is that what you used?
No, I think it's Asus. Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
But so I've been looking to upgrade. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go. I've been hearing great things about the Orbi. You've been saying great things about it. So I'm ready to take the plunge. I just needed to make sure that it worked in, with EU stuff. So
yeah, and the app is really good too. Like, it's like you can go in there and block website. Like, it's got a very good like security system. So I've been really happy with it. It's expensive, but it's totally worth it.
Yeah, you can. I'm telling you what, when you see those things, you go to like a Best Buy and you see those like really terrible mesh networks that they sell, and you spend you spend an arm and a leg for them, and they're absolute crap. And then you get an actual awesome mesh network that'll change everything about your home Wi-Fi. It's absolutely worth it. So yes, you pay for what you get, right? An excellent Wi-Fi system. So check them out and get 10% off. So right now, use that code MORNING10. All right, we've got more news to get to here on the show. Next on the rundown, let's talk about Marjorie Taylor Red, Marjorie Taylor Greene. So Marjorie Taylor Greene, I think there's a problem with a lot of politicians. Number one, I think they're mostly all hacks, and they don't know what they're talking about, and they are beholden to corporate interests, right? It's very rare that you find a politician that's not taking money from Wall Street or defense contractors. Essentially, Wall Street, defense contractors, here's what happens. They pay for their campaigns. And then when they get to office, they approve favorable legislation so that they can continue to build weapons of mass destruction, et cetera, right? They continue to line the pockets of these bankers, and they take care of them.
How do you think you would act if you were handed a paycheck every month, no matter how bad you did at your job?
Right.
Like, you didn't have to perform. You were there because you were voted in. So you don't have to do anything. As long as you're in there and you still get paid.
No. And then you get to pay lip service to, like, that you're standing up for your people. And it's so interesting. That's why people hate politicians, because they vote them in. they get up there and they give rousing speeches and they talk about how we're going to keep and protect you from socialism, right? We're going to make sure that you're taken care of. And then the people of Tennessee or wherever else have said, yeah, that's right. That's right. You know, I support you. I support you. You're absolutely right. They get voted into office. And then what happens? They don't support the people. They vote against their interest all of the time because these corporate politicians are run by corporations. That's all they are.
They get in there and they're like, okay, I got 4 years to make a fortune. I got 4 years to become a millionaire. Ready? Go.
Yeah, and they'll charge for speeches and they do fundraisers. One of the, of course, big downsides of American political structure is that as soon as you win an election, you've got to immediately start fundraising for the next one. That's it. You've got to continue that cycle. Always on the phone, raising money. You call the big companies. They're lining your pockets. They're sending money to your campaign so that you stay in office, pay for your lifestyle. And how are some of these politicians rich, by the way? Like, how are they making millions? How is Nancy Pelosi able to, 10 times the amount of income based on just by being in office? How's that possible?
Well, there's lobbyists, and then there's the stock market. She has insider information. You can't tell me that she hasn't made some insider deals. She is the one that writes policy that can enrich her.
Of course. So Marjorie Taylor Greene has been out there. She was on the Matt Gaetz podcast, which sign up for that one. So Matt Gaetz has a podcast, the accused pedophile, by the way. So they've been doing press conferences together and so forth. But anyway, she went on his podcast the other day and started talking about how small businesses get destroyed in America. And she's blaming it on communism, or I guess what she thinks is socialism. I don't know what she's trying to do or what she thinks is actually harming American workers. But whatever she did, she got it totally backwards. So watch this very confused Marjorie Taylor Greene spouting some made-up thing that she just came up with called corporate communism.
These large corporations are...
The military-industrial complex.
Military-industrial complex is a major issue.
Oh, really? Military-industrial complex is a major issue.
Wait, is she sitting across from Matt Gaetz?
Yeah, she's on his show.
Oh, my gosh. He has a
show? She's on his podcast. Sign up for it. No, don't.
So I have a term for that. I call it corporate communism. Corporate communism destroys small businesses in America. And I have a very good example from my district. They destroy the small businesses.
Who?
And the corporations gain all the control and they can't be defeated. And they do the bidding of the government like they're doing. Biden saying, the government's not going to mandate vaccines. But the big corporations are doing it. Corporate communism. They're putting the policy in place through their businesses, on their employees, and on their customers.
First of all, are you kidding me? Like, she literally doesn't know what she's talking about. So it's corporate communism is what's crushing the small businesses. Okay, no, it's not. It's corporations that have unfettered access and don't have any oversight by a government that enables them. That's called capitalism. Your favorite president, President Trump, was absolutely one of the biggest enablers of this. Big businesses that are able to swoop into a town and crush small businesses, they do not do the bidding of Joe Biden. Joe Biden does the bidding of them. All of those people in Washington, D.C. do the bidding of these corporations. Nancy Pelosi gets a personal phone call from Tim Cook at Apple, doing the bidding of these big corporations. Bill Gates tells us what to do. All of these big corporations run the show. We are not a democracy. We haven't been a democracy. We're not a republic, quite frankly. We are either an oligarchy or a corporatocracy. That's basically what we are, aren't we?
Is it
corporations
just
run the show.
Is it just me, or does she kind of look like Eileen Wuornos?
A little bit.
Large corporations are
the military-industrial complex.
Military-industrial complex.
Yeah, military-industrial complex. That's a big problem. Oh, really? I didn't hear you complain about... I haven't heard you complain about the military-industrial complex, the amount of money that we've lined these defense contractors' pockets with. Like, you just voted for a military bill like that gives money to the military-industrial complex. Are you kidding me? Where has Marjorie Taylor Greene been on reducing the amount of spending in the military budget? None of them have. I can't believe I'm actually going to say this, but actually Matt Gaetz has been more outspoken about reducing the amount of money that we spend in the military. She hasn't.
How many times before the show when you and I are prepping, are we like, how do these people get in office? How did somebody like Marjorie Taylor Greene get in office and get be part of creating and voting on legislation that affects us?
I'll tell you how, you know, not to be cynical about it, but here's how someone like Marjorie Taylor Greene gets elected. She makes up stuff. She pretends to be a populist, right? She pretends to care about you and your cultural issues and how your jobs are going overseas because of socialism. And your jobs, when people believe that crap, people believe that.
So basically, exactly like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez running on Medicare for All and then not standing up for it when it came time, that kind of thing.
Yeah, you run on a populist platform, you speak these populist messages, and most of the time you're all fake. And you get into office, and then you don't do anything that, like you said, you were going to do. You know, it's the way that we pass. If you think about a lot of the cultural issues that really work in elections, they work because it strikes an emotional chord with someone. So you can win in Ohio, and this is how George W. Bush won. He won among the soccer moms and the exurbs that were popping up in Ohio during 2000 against John Kerry, able to say, I'm going to provide safety. Right? I'm going to provide safety for you and your community against these terrorists. Oh, and by the way, I know you're against abortion, so I'm also going to stand with you on this cultural issue of abortion, right? And then what happens when President Bush actually wins re-election is nothing happens. We're not safer at all. And he pays lip service to the right wing of his party by passing a late term abortion ban, which, by the way, no one's having a late term abortion anyway. Like, it doesn't exist. It's not happening, right? But it was a way for him to just shore that cultural side of things up. And they literally are voting against their own self-interest. But they just hear the cultural stuff, right? That's how people win these races. They run on cultural stuff, just like the judges. Supreme Court judges. You have to elect me, Mitch McConnell, because I'm going to make sure that your Supreme Court protects life, right? I'm going to put on conservative judges on the Supreme Court. And all they talk about are the cultural issues that move the emotional needle. But then what actually happens is these judges are pro-business. They end up always siding with the businesses. And so when there's a labor violation or somebody else, you know, is stomped on because of a corporation and they go before the Supreme Court or the high court in each state, guess what happens? They always side with the business. Why? Well, you voted for it. You know, you voted against your own self-interest. But the way they pitched it to you was on cultural issues. And almost none of the cases that come before these courts have anything to do with cultural issues. They're all business related usually. And it always falls on the side of the corporation over the person. But most people don't know that. And they hear these snappy commercials, they hear these radio ads, you know, that this politician is, you know, pro-abortion or pro-choice, and this person's pro-life, you got to vote for this person. And really it comes down to business. It has nothing to do with these cultural issues. That's how we get suckered into it. You know, and Marjorie Taylor Greene thinks that she thinks that these businesses, these big businesses, are as a result, it's somehow communism. She had a tweet a few months ago. I don't know if you remember this, where she tweeted like, I think we made fun of her here on the show about, she's like, you know, in Russia, all of the power under communist countries is consolidated in the 1%. Do you want to wind up like them? It's like, wait a second. What country are you talking about? You live in that country right now, Marjorie Taylor Greene. That's the country you live in. Corporate communism. I don't know where she works. I don't know where she thinks, but government is not, you know, corporations are not beholden to President Biden.
No, President Biden is beholden to corporations.
Exactly. And so is she. And so is Matt Gaetz and all of these guys.
Well, then we say it all the time. We say it all the time. Don't believe anything they say and half of what you see them doing. You have to look at their actions. Like they say they're going to do all these things, but if you watch what they vote on, you see, you can see it's public information to see where their money's coming from, what lobbyists they're taking money from. In some cases, if it's going to a private super PAC, they can hide that. But a lot of times you can tell, like for instance, when Obama got into office, you could tell that he was going to be very favorable to the pharmaceutical industry because that's where he got a lot of his money. And sure enough, he was very favorable to the pharmaceutical industry, just like Biden is. So you just have to watch what they do and follow the money, and you can know exactly how they're going to vote on everything.
Right. And just if you want a clue as to who's in cahoots with who, just watch like CNN, watch the big media networks, right? I mean, they won't have a Bernie Sanders on the air who's anti-government or who's anti-corporation, who's going to speak against CNN's entire structure, right? The reason that CNN pushed over, wanted Biden in the presidency. Right, he's going to be pro-business. Nothing is going to fundamentally change with their business model. CNN will continue to rake in millions of dollars, and the corporations that run CNN will continue to make money on Wall Street. Nothing will fundamentally change, as Biden told them. Basically, like, hey guys, I know you're a little worried here, but nothing's going to fundamentally change. Like, you will still make a killing, and while the common worker, the poor person in America will continue to be stomped on. Like Marjorie Taylor Greene doesn't understand that when small businesses, like these big businesses come in, like the super Walmarts or all of these big corporations that come in and they drive the small businesses out. And, you know, she doesn't understand that she's not on the side of the worker. Like if she was really pro-worker, she would say she'd be down there standing next to Bernie Sanders at the Amazon plant in Alabama saying, hey, if this is corporate communism, why are you walking all over these people? These people are peeing in bottles here at this Amazon plant. Like, that's wrong. But she thinks it's socialism. She thinks it's communism. I just...
think about what a base level education that is. To understand what corp... Or, what do we have? Man, I always forget the word. We have socialism, communism, and capitalism. Like, that's a base level education for somebody in her shoes. She should know the definition of those three things because she's absolutely wrong. Like people are like, you know, us, we're asking for healthcare and stuff. And people are like, you're a communist, you're a socialist. No, that is absolutely not what that is at all. Right.
Like, you don't even know what communism is. You don't even know what socialism is. You don't even, frankly, she doesn't even know what capitalism is. What she's sitting there basically arguing against is free market capitalism, which is in many ways what I'm arguing against. When you have literally like government structures so that it's just run by corporations and they get to walk all over everyone. They run the entire show. I mean, just her sitting there, like she's, and Matt Gaetz is like, yeah, I totally hear you. Like, it's like two parrots. Like
the major issue. So I have a term for that. I call it corporate communism. Corporate communism destroys small businesses in America. And I have a very good example from my district. They destroy the small businesses and the corporations gain all the control and they can't be defeated.
That's communism. That's communism for you. I have a really good example for my district. You know, a big corporation came in and put this other business out of business and they just took all the power. They just took all the power. These communists. Oh, I call it. You know, she was sitting there like in her office, like, you know, Janice, come in here. I got an idea. I need a catchphrase. You know, I need to be known for something, you know, like on that, like, I don't know, that show, Big Bang Theory, you know, when he says like bazinga or whatever it is, like, or when Norm walks in at Cheers, everyone goes, Norm, like I need a catchphrase. So I've been working on this one all night and I've come up with it. It's called corporate communism. You know, that's what these corporations are doing. Yeah. Okay. Congressman. Yeah. Congresswoman. Yeah. That sounds good. Can I go back? I was eating my lunch. Yeah, I got it. All right, I'm going to go on the Matt Gaetz show and tell him I have a term for it called corporate communism.
It's corporate communism. Catch me outside. How about that?
Oh, man, these people.
And they do the bidding of the government like they're doing. Biden's saying, oh, the government's not going to mandate vaccines, but the big corporations are doing it. Corporate communism. They're putting the policy in place through their businesses on their employees and on their customers.
Yeah.
These large corporations
the
are
military-industrial complex.
Military-industrial complex is a major issue.
Yeah, man, you guys are really tackling the hard stuff here, guys. You know, you're really going right after, you know, military-industrial complex and the defense budget and all of these big corporations. You know, I see you standing up there in the picket lines when they're not letting their workers right to form a union. Yeah, you guys are always right there, you know. Man, I think we need to have like a civics lesson. Maybe though, I'd be for that. Like, I would actually have taxpayer money so that when they get elected in there, they have to go through civics lessons. They have to just understand what government they're even running right now.
Well, look at the tests. We have to go through these tests to drive a car. We have to go through tests if we want to be some kind of commercial driver. Yet they can get in there and run our country and not even know the difference between capitalism, socialism, and communism. I mean,
what's hilarious is, to your point about test taking, I mean, if you want to become an American citizen, you have to take a test. People that take American citizenship tests know more about American civic policy and American history than these people do.
I got an idea. Let's forget term limits and forget all that stuff. Let the American people, instead of writing a new constitution like Iceland did, which would be awesome, but why don't we write a test that every politician has to take before they can even run for office? If they don't pass that test, they're out.
I love that. Like, they have to go in on a Saturday morning and do like an SAT test. Yeah. You know, hey, you have to pass it to take the bar, you know, to pass the bar exam to become a lawyer, right? What about to become a politician to actually run our country?
Like, think, Obama, how many states are there in the United States, Obama? 52? Working on our 53rd state.
Yeah, I live in Hawaii. We were the 52nd state. It's like, okay. All right. All right, President Trump. All right, George.
How many times, Mr. Bush, can you be fooled?
Yeah, fool me once. You can't fool. Well, if you fool me twice, I can't be fooled again. I want to live in a world where fish and people can coexist peacefully. Oh, boy. So there's Marjorie Taylor Greene for you. So thank you, guys. I appreciate you. I appreciate you all joining us this morning. Thank you for subscribing to the channel and becoming a part of our community here, supporting independent journalism, covering the stories they won't cover in the mainstream media. Pizza is a pickle howler. That's true. That's true. All right, everyone. We will see you back here tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Eastern, or 8:30 a.m. Eastern time. That's how we do it. 8:30 a.m. Eastern time. We'll see you back here first thing mañana. Peace out, everyone.
Peace.